Brees takes the snap. Back to pass. He got hit as he throws. It's up high, and it's picked off. Gibson's got it at the 50, at the 40, at the 30, at the 20. He is gone. Touchdown to Sean Gibson.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura back with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, joined by Matt Wilhelm, Browns staff writer Kevin Jones. And on the phone, we've got the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, because it is the Blue Point Grill Roundtable. It's located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. It's a Silver Spoons Award winner for best seafood restaurant since opening. It's an earned reputation by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. With a name like Blue Point, you know oysters are a big deal. Over 75,000 hand-shucked every single year. They get fresh seafood, folks. It's flown in daily. Huge, succulent crab legs, tremendous lobster tails, fresh scallops, and ahi tuna. Oysters from both coasts, and not just seafood. They've got great steaks as well. You want to go a little surf and turf, don't limit yourself. Head on down to Blue Point. Have a great meal. You get attentive service. It's a VIP experience for everyone. Great place for a special occasion or just a night out on the town. And don't forget, Blue Point is the classiest way to tailgate before Browns games with oysters, Bloody Marys, food, valet parking. Folks, that is pre-gaming in style. Go to Blue Point Grill, grill with an E, for reservations. All right, we're starting the roundtable here. And, gentlemen, yesterday the Browns get their first win in a home opener since 2004. Jim, you've seen all of them. Let me ask you this. How about that crowd last night, and what do you think about the Browns' home field advantage going forward?
Well, I think it was just a great day. I think the crowd came really ready. And then I think the Browns gave them the opportunity to get loud. And Mike Pettine had talked about that last week. You know, you can have the crowd and you can have the better sound system and the nice video boards and the more intimate city. You can have all of that, but you got to have something on the field that makes the fans get into the game. And I thought the Browns did that throughout the day. And I thought there were a couple of, you know, valleys in the afternoon that in the past, you know, the crowd falls out of the game, and the next thing you know, they're walking up the aisles and out the exits. But the Browns always answered that, and they made another play or a great drive or the Dansby sack or, you know, something to get the crowd really energized. But everybody was in sync. The crowd was in sync with the team, and the team was in sync with the crowd.
If the Saints start off fast, the Browns probably don't win the game. If Drew Brees comes out and gets first downs and they get into a rhythm – and the Saints take a lead, I don't see the Browns being able to have the manpower on offense to come back and be in a shootout. So kudos to the Dog Pound. Without them, Saints taking early lead, they could walk away with a W.
You get the big sack from Kruger. The crowd's going crazy. Forced them to use a timeout early. And, yeah, this was a game where I thought the Browns definitely made a statement about who they are. We're going to play great defense. We're going to attack the quarterback. We're going to try to ball hawk when the opportunity presents itself and on offense. We're going to run the football and control the game with our offensive line that right now you have to think is one of the best in the NFL, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, what this goes, it goes to show that all the hard work and all the preaching that this staff has come in, it's finally paying off. And I think that this team was extremely confident, even with a loss leaving Pittsburgh, because of the talk that happened at halftime from the leaders. They come out and prove that they're not that first half football team that they showed in Pittsburgh, but then also too, to come out fast, you know, in a home opener and set a tone of the type of football that this Cleveland Browns team will play all year long.
The most underrated play that no one's talking about: first quarter, fourth and one. Browns could kick a field goal easily, you know, get a couple points. Mike Pettine goes for it, gives the handoff to Terrence West. Trust your rookie to get a yard there. Next play, touchdown. Set the tone. Keep your foot
different
on the gas
way of
pedal.
Thinking. Different way of thinking here now.
Let's play to win. Let's play to win.
Know,
we're not going to play scared.
Yeah, the other thing, guys, is that the decision to defer, you know, on winning the toss and putting your defense out there, you know, because that's what you're going to do. It's not as much about getting the ball in the second half. It's about how you're going to start the game. And I think that's, you're right. When they set the tempo, they win the toss, they say, hey, we're going to play defense and we're going to win defensively early in the game. And they dominated the game defensively. The defense dominated the game early and well through the first half because it gave them field position. It gave them points. You know, it really came up big for them, and I think it really got them off and ready to go. And I think that is a difference in the team right now.
And how about those rookie running backs? Not just what they did running the football, but they've now faced for basically three halves of football or six quarters of football, Dick LeBeau and Rob Ryan as the defensive coordinators, and neither one of them had a breakdown in pass protection. That, to me, says a lot about the coaching that they're getting, a lot about the offense that Kyle Shanahan is running, and a lot about these young men to get themselves that prepared, be as diligent in their preparation to go out and execute in these situations.
They've been so good. When Ben Tate comes back, these guys can't come off the field. I mean, their time is going to be cut short probably a little bit, but you got to find ways to get Crowell the ball. He can run people over. Me, I see Terrence West. Okay, he's a bigger back. Get him the ball out in the field as a receiver. He has shifty moves in space. There's one throw, if you follow me on Twitter, tweeted a Vine of it. Terrence West can make people miss. He can hit home runs. Get him the ball any way you can.
And I agree. I'll say this: is I think that it's a testament to the to Ray Farmer and his staff, the scouting staff, to evaluate these guys not only on their physical attributes but on their football IQ, to be able to step in week two and learn this exotic off these 17 word plays and go out and execute them, taking the ball from the quarterback and running and reading and lanes and things like that. They've been doing that for a very long time. But again, as you said, with Dick LeBeau and Rob Ryan, exotic blitzing packages, and to be able to have Brian Hoyer's back and meet that need to protect him, to allow him the opportunity to throw the football, is so the football IQ for me of these two young running backs, more so than their physical attributes, is highly impressive.
And Jim, let me ask you this, and I'll throw this out to everybody. What does this win mean for Brian Hoyer, and what does it mean for this team in general to have this win? You talked about the resiliency they showed. I thought they showed it against Pittsburgh. They showed it in this game because in the middle of this game, you're right, it could have gotten away from them. They hung 14 unanswered points on him. Jimmy Graham looked like he was completely unstoppable, and yet this team found a way to rally, and Brian Hoyer came up big when he needed to the most on that final drive.
Well, he really did. It means a lot. It can really make him. I mean, it can really make him and establish him as not only the fans have a great deal of confidence in him now, and of course, you know, he'll always have that hometown link. I mean, he was born with that, obviously. But I think he commands the team now. When they really feel that you can get the ball at the 4-yard line and move down the field without Josh Gordon and without Jordan Cameron and without Ben Tate, I mean, that's the given. I mean, you know, those three guys weren't there yesterday, and you know, they're not going to be there for a while. When you can get that guy to go in there, and when I asked the players in the locker room after the game, what was it like in that huddle? And he said, very, very strict and very stern. And, you know, Brian Hoyer was in control, which has been missing with other people who have played the quarterback position here in the past few years, and really longer than that. But I think it can really make him in the locker room, and definitely in the town. But for him personally, it's got to be huge, because I have to tell you, I felt a little that he was a little shaky during the preseason, and I thought a lot of it was up in his head more than it was in his knee. And I think yesterday really helps him. But really, that second half last week in Pittsburgh got him going.
Jim, I agree with you. And the one thing that, again, as a former football player, is what these coaches and management are looking for is consistency. You know, and I think that's what this playing team football, we now know what we're going to get from Brian Hoyer week in, week out. We're not going to get an extreme high or an extreme low. We know where we're going to get. So that allows you to play complementary football. So the defense knows, you know, it doesn't have to go out and pitch shutouts, or, it, you know, it can get into, you know, a point fest, or, you know, where it's like if you can win 31-30. We can play multiple different types of games because we know what we're going to get out of the quarterback position, which we have not had here in a very long time.
Mike Pettine has said it multiple times. If Hoyer doesn't get hurt last season, I'm not the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Hoyer can win football games. He's not just a game manager. He proved it yesterday against what was a top five defense in 2013. I mean, look at the receivers around him too. He's making people better. I didn't think he had that trait. I will be honest. A couple months ago, I was unsure that he could make someone like Taylor Gabriel, Hawkins, a 70-yard receiver every time. He's doing it. He's proving it. We just wrote about it on ClevelandBrowns.com. Brian Hoyer looks like he might be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, at least for the rest of this year and for a long time.
And how about the fact that Johnny Manziel, Jim, did make his debut yesterday, and that is not even a story at all. And what'd you think about the way that it was done? I don't know ultimately if you look back at it, that it gave either one of them a chance to succeed when you're shuttling them out in and out of the same series. I think if you want to give Johnny a chance, you let him play a series. But Brian Hoyer right now doesn't need it. They have a special package, a special group of gimmick plays they want to run out there. I guess I understand it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nathan. I didn't feel it was necessary. I heard what Mike Pettine said afterwards, that they had put a lot of work into it, and they have put a lot of work into it, and they wanted to get it out on the field. But I think Hoyer was in a good groove yesterday. I don't think he had lost anything. You know, they had a dud series coming out of the locker room, you know, in the opening series of the second half. But then he had that critical drive where, you know, those running backs that you guys have been talking about and we've been talking about, really was, they were the meat and potatoes of that drive that gave them the lead back, only to lose it again.
Huge drive in the third quarter.
That was a big, big drive. And, yeah, I didn't get the sense that, you know, that they needed it. And on the other side, I didn't think it gave me any kind of feeling that Manziel got enough to make it worthwhile for him. I mean, and so, you know, it's out there. I think that everybody knows it's out there. I think all the teams that they play now, they see it's out there, and it's probably going to grow at some point. But, you know, it's fine he got out there, but I think that, you know, his bigger chunks of playing time are probably down the road.
Why not let Manziel throw the ball deep? Is that what you get in a situation where he makes a big play that people want to keep him in the game, but use his arm strength? Don't let him run around the pocket with his, like a chicken with his head cut off.
Right.
Let him throw the ball down the field. I guess that's going to disrupt the flow of the game. But if I'm going to call him in for a couple plays, I'm going deep to Travis Benjamin. I'm going to try and make something exciting happen.
And I'll give Hoyer a lot of credit, though, because in that one where he came in, which was the drive that ultimately ended in the Terrence West touchdown to give the Browns a 23-17 lead, you know, they bring Manziel in, they run the read option, he gives it to Crowell, the play gets blown up, minus three, has a play where he rolls out left, hits Agnew, but a big hit from Jarius Byrd causes Agnew to drop it. Hoyer comes in then on 3rd and 13 and gets it to Gary Barnage, who every single one of his catches was a massive catch on the day for the first down to kind of extend that drive. And that's that. For Brian Hoyer to show that kind of mental toughness, because it had been clear, I thought, before that Johnny was mentally impacting Brian. And for him to go in a game where he probably was pissed off, and rightfully so. I think anybody who's a quarterback in the NFL is going to be mad when they say you can't go play quarterback, somebody else is. To come back in, I thought, was huge. And I thought he showed so much in this second half for the second straight week when it mattered to be that guy and to be that leader, that it just means for the Browns, it's a good thing, because if the team's winning, that's good. If you can let Johnny Manziel get more time to learn, that's good too. There's no rush. There's nothing that says Johnny has to play, and as long as Brian Hoyer plays like this, there's no need for Johnny to play.
Drew Brees wasn't an established quarterback in this league until year four. He started year two, was awful, was benched year three. People want microwave instant success in this society. Let Johnny watch and wait. Everything will be fine. Hoyer is the guy right now. Clearly, he's eliminated any doubt beating New Orleans the way he did.
And how about Carlos Dansby? I love Carlos Dansby. We're all big fans of him. But, Jim, that one, to me, may have been the biggest play of the day.
Oh, I agree, Nathan.
Yeah. Agree.
Yep. I totally agree with you. I mean, you have a really heady, crafty quarterback, you know, out on the field that you're going up against in his, you know, right in his wheelhouse. He's got the lead by a point. He's driving them for at least a field goal, if not more. And while he's doing it, he is masterfully draining the clock. And, you know, you're saying to yourself, are we going to get it back? And if we do get it back, are we going to be down four and we're going to need a touchdown rather than just being down the 1 point? And you needed something. And Dansby came up with that huge play that knocked them right out of field goal range. And sure, they punted the ball and it went down to the four. But the key thing was we got the ball back and got it away from Brees, because I was worried that he was going to take it right down, you know, kick a chip shot field goal, or maybe more, but certainly at the very least a field goal. And mathematically, because we're chasing that darn extra point around for the whole day after it's botched, I really thought the math numbers were going to say, hey, we're going to need a touchdown, and that was going to be a problem. So that play was just huge in the game.
Massive. And he was talking about it after the game. He said, I knew I was going to get him. When Brees made his check at the line of scrimmage, he knew that he checked to a protection that wasn't accounting for Dansby as a blitzer. So Dansby knew. He said, I knew I was going to get him. I just wanted to get the ball out. He was more upset that he didn't get the ball out, but got the huge sack. This is the Blue Point Grill Roundtable right now, presented by Blue Point Grill on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. It is the finest seafood in this great city and a great place to celebrate any special occasion or a Browns game. Last one for the roundtable here, Justin Gilbert, much maligned after week number one. I thought bounced back, had a good game. What did you guys see from the rookie corner?
I think he bounced back. I think, as I said, is the more experience that he can gain, the better. I think, you know, reeling him back too far would hurt that finicky confidence that he might have had. And so I think, you know, he made a couple plays. And the one thing I don't think we can at all in a negative light shine, a light on him to say, you know what, he didn't do it this play, and continue to point that finger that we so dramatically did last week.
I think the plan was to not play him as much. He ends up playing 49 snaps because he played good early, and the coaches said, you know what, this could build his confidence. Let's keep him out there. I want to see him return a kickoff. Someone asked Patton that. I think it could really get him going. He returns a big kickoff, builds his confidence. I liked what I saw from him. He played a lot more than I expected. The Saints did not have their typical 60-yard home run hitting play. He was a big part of that.
He made a really nice play down in front of the Saints bench on Meacham. And I thought he almost was going to pick that ball off.
Me too.
Which brings me to this about him. And I do think he was much better yesterday. And so he'll grow from that. And, you know, I'm going to go by what Patton had said about Terrence West the week before leading up to the opener. West, he said, had a great week of practice. And then he had a really good game at Pittsburgh. He said on Friday, Gilbert had a really good week in practice, and I think he was better. So, I mean, I think that, you know, when they're better during the week and they have a good week of practice, it usually does pay off on Sunday. But the one thing he's doing is, I think that I noticed, even on that ball that Meacham went down to Meacham and he made the good play and he knocked it away, I think he wants to make a play so much that he really jars at the ball now rather than just making a real smooth play, because I think he's such a smooth athlete. I think it's just going to happen that, you know, but he's almost like punching at the ball rather than going to get the ball. And I think he's such a good athlete and he's got great hands that he can just go up and pick the ball down. And so I think that's going to come. But I think yesterday it was a victory for him, I'm sure, because he had had such a rough couple of weeks, including those two preseason games and then the Steeler game.
And, Jim, to your point, I think I agree with you, but I think the also thing that Justin Gilbert's doing is he's creating a little too much space, a little too much margin, because I think, like, a lot of rookie defensive backs, is they're afraid to get beat for that home run.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know, on a comeback or a speed out, you know, he's closing on it and making some of those tackles. And then last week, that margin was so wide, he was getting beat and missing those tackles. So he's giving his space a little bit more cushion. But again, that comes in time as he can close that gap that we see closed by a guy like Joe Haden. He just does not want to give up that deep ball.
I think he really, goes back to something that Doug Deacon always points out, and he said it about Haden, and he said it about Buster Skrine, and I think, you know, we're going to say it about this kid too. He just should really trust what he's got. He's
Absolutely.
Got great speed, and he can recover fast, you know. So I think he's growing into it. Yesterday was a good day for him. He needed one.
It was a very good day, and they wanted to emphasize no big plays. The biggest pass play of the game was a 23-yarder to Jimmy Graham. Nobody else had a reception for more than 15 yards on that Saints team in that entire game. That is atypical. That is one of the reasons that the Browns were able to get their first victory in a home opener since 2004. Jim, thank you so much for being with us. Kevin, thanks for being with us. Be sure to check Kevin's article about Brian Hoyer out right now at clevelandbrowns.com. Matt and I will be back with more, but that was the Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't forget Blue Point Grill, home of the best seafood in town. Great view of downtown and people watching. It's the who's who of Cleveland. Crab legs, succulent lobster tails, fresh scallops, ahi, tuna flown in daily. Go to bluepointgrill.com. That's grill with an E, G-R-I-L-L-E, for reservations. Fantastic place to go before every home game as well. Open at 10 a.m. with brunch and valet parking. Have a Bloody Mary, have some oysters. Do it in style, then go down and watch the Browns beat up on the Ravens this Sunday. Blue Point Grill, bluepointgrill.com. We'll be back with more of CBD right after this.